Hey guys, welcome to the Hollow Podcast. This is Maverick Ginger, and today we are going to be talking about the classic Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. Now, I don't know about you, but I love Pride and Prejudice. Mr. Darcy and his stoic, noble character, and Elizabeth's witty, almost plucked out of modern society personality is just. It's really, really great. Well, let's get started. I'm going to start off by listing the top five characters that I consider them my favorites. And then after that, I'm going to list their pros and their cons. And then I will talk about my least favorite characters and their pros and cons. So let's jump right into it. Number one, obviously, it's going to be the witty and just absolutely wonderful Elizabeth Bennet. Honestly, there is almost nothing bad about her. I really, even her flaws, like her obviously being prejudiced, even that just kind of adds to her, if that makes sense. Like, it just makes her even more well-rounded. Honestly, if you read the book and you're just like, I hate Elizabeth Bennet, then you're most likely you're reading the wrong book. No, I'm kidding. How do you even read Pride and Prejudice and it be the wrong book? Anyways, Elizabeth Bennet is just, she's wonderful. She has so many qualities that are just redeeming for her. And she is just downright sassy for that society. Honestly, Jane Austen did such a good job with writing her. And it's kind of funny that she turned out the way she did when both her mom and her father were both kind of strange, even in that society. All right, number two. Obviously, is going to be Mr. Darcy. Now, the only reason why I put Mr. Darcy below Elizabeth Bennet, well, first of all, Elizabeth Bennet is just my all-time favorite character, but Mr. Darcy is my go-to comparison when it comes to guys. Now, obviously, if you listen to my previous episode talking about me, you know that I am a junior in high school. And most girls by now, they've already had two or three boyfriends, if not more than that, just in the past 6 months. But I have never really had a boyfriend or anything like that. But that Mr. Darcy's character is just one if someone just took, you know, we don't believe in reincarnation, obviously, but if Mr. Darcy just reincarnated, or somehow some guy is just like, I want to be just like Mr. Darcy, then there's a good chance that I would probably end up liking him at some point. Although, not many men know who Mr. Darcy is, but which is very unfortunate. Are there really actually many guys in today's society who actually read classics like that? Man, I'd like to find those who do. That'd be cool. I mean, most guys are more about trucks and cars, automotives. What do guys talk about? I mean, what? Oh my goodness. I have never thought about that. What do guys actually talk about? Leave me a voice message if you're a guy or you're very well acquainted with the male population or some of the male population. Tell me what guys actually talk about outside of like cars and school. 'Cause I'd really like to know. Anyways, I really haven't been talking much about Mr. Darcy. Mr. Darcy's character is very as well as Elizabeth Bennet or Lizzie, how she's a well-rounded character. Mr. Darcy's really a well-rounded character, but the thing is, he is more misunderstood than Lizzie. I don't know if many of y'all are acquainted with the Myers-Briggs, but I believe that he is probably an INTJ. Okay, he's introverted, intuitive thinking and judging with a lot of italicizing on judging. And probably a lot of thinking, because I think that's probably part of his problem. He probably overthought a lot. Whew. And I know this is kind of random, but I'm just sitting on a bed right now. It's not my bed, but it's a bed. Just kind of secluded from my brother. So if you hear anything squeaking in the background, that is me moving around. But Mr. Darcy, he's just very well-rounded and very complex. But the others view him a lot differently than they view Elizabeth Bennet, because I think introverts were probably very, well, actually, introverts have always been misunderstood. I'm sorry. I know people make such a big deal about introverts getting a lot of attention lately because everything's kind of become introvert friendly, in quotation marks. But the thing is, nothing has ever really been introvert friendly. I'm sorry. I don't care how many videos you make about only introverts understand, or how many BuzzFeed stories or articles you read that are 13 GIFs or GIFs, because I don't know how y'all feel about GIFs or GIFs, or 13 GIFs that are basically introverts' lives in a nutshell. I don't care how many of those you write or read, because I don't think there are many people around. Like, I don't think a BuzzFeed editor is just gonna read my, or I mean, not read, but listen to my podcast. I mean, if you are a BuzzFeed editor or writer, then hi, here I am. I just called you guys out. No, I didn't, but because that would be really stupid. But nothing has ever really been introvert friendly, because most introverts, they just, I mean, introverts are very, most of them are complex characters. You have some who are introverts because they are just thinking and they just don't know how to get it out. Or they feel and they also don't know how to get it out. And they're just very misunderstood. They have always been misunderstood. I don't care. I really don't care how introvert friendly people try to make the world today or the internet. Introverts are introverts, okay? I know that's really, really profound, but introverts are introverts, and they are going to be misunderstood. And most likely the world will always be un-introvert friendly. Extroverts have just almost always. Now there was like a short period of time when philosophy was really, really out there. Like it was, well, not really out there, but it was popular. I want to think that was during the time of Socrates, maybe? But anyways, I'm getting off track. I might as well just change this to not like only a Pride and Prejudice book review, but also a just a ramble that stemmed from Pride and Prejudice. But Mr. Darcy, he's very complex. He has many aspects that are, they are his redeeming qualities and not so redeeming qualities. There is a police siren in the distance. Or is that a police? Nope, that's an ambulance. Oh, wow. This is also at 11 minutes long. I'm sorry, it's probably gonna be a lot longer because I still have to get to the least favorite characters. I'm sorry, guys. Hopefully, you were doing something really productive while you were listening to this, and you're just like, oh, well, I just have something in the background that I can listen to for a long period of time because I'm gonna be very productive for about 15 minutes of my time. I don't know if this podcast is actually going to be only 15 minutes long. I am so sorry, you guys. The introduction was not all that long. I think it was like 50 seconds long. I'm sorry, guys. But anyways, Mr. Darcy. Now, Mr. Darcy, at first, I don't know about you guys, but I never really actually dislike Mr. Darcy. I kind of understood him. Not really understood him, but I didn't really judge him as hard as some people would. Like when I first read the story, I was like, yo, this cat is cool. Like, what is better than a stoic nobleman? You don't find those very often now. Now they're just kind of like, hey girl, look at my Nike shoes. I'm sorry if any of you guys are listening to this, like, not like you guys as in, like, guys and girls, I mean, like, the male population. If you are a male or a guy and you wear Nikes and you say, hey girl, I am so sorry, but you need to step up your game. Start going out in carriages and horse-drawn carriages and, like, and find your Elizabeth Bennet. Don't go for the Lydias, okay? I'll talk about that later. But I mean, like, as far as how you act, not like culture. Culture back then, you can find your Mr. Darcy, but you are going to have to look. That sounds incorrect. You are going to have to look top to bottom. You are going to have to search everywhere. It may take you a long time to find your Mr. Darcy because they're just not, you don't find them very, very much anymore in today's society because we don't really have the etiquette has really been broken down. And I'm not crying, okay? I have some sinus problems right now. I'm not getting really passionate about this. Etiquette has really been torn down. It's really rare. Like, I'm not talking about, oh, don't eat with your mouth open. Okay, that's just annoying. That's just common sense. But I mean, like, etiquette, not seeing women as objects or just something pretty to look at, or as a trophy. I mean, like something you would actually treat with respect. Like most people think that seeing a woman as one of the bros with is respectful, but it I mean, maybe it is in a way, but it's kind of not. Like see that woman or girl, young lady, whatever you want to call her, Yeah, I just exceeded the 15 minutes. I still haven't gotten to the least favorite characters. I am still on Mr. Darcy. Sorry. But, if you are a guy, and I know probably most of my audiences are probably going to be women, and I know some of you are probably gonna be like, "Woo, you go, girl," because I really don't know many girls who don't want to be treated with respect. They just don't know what respect is. Some of them. I'm not saying all of you girls, okay? But I mean, like, not girls want to be treated with respect, but they. It's hard to be found in guys anymore. And Mr. Darcy, he is just a really good role model for that because even though, I mean, even when there was that short span of misunderstanding between Elizabeth and Mr. Darcy, and he pretty much was like, "Hey, your family is like, unmannered. They're just a bunch of wild banshees. You probably should be in a mental asylum, but hey, girl, I'm gonna take some pity on you and I wanna marry you." Like, and she was just like, "Excuse me, how about no?" And he just, and the thing is, he didn't actually, well, he did get mad at first, but he didn't hold a grudge. He didn't hold a grudge. He didn't actually really spread word about her. Although I will retract for a moment. He did devise a plan against Bingley and Jane. And I'm not gonna put spoiler alerts on this because, I mean, how many movies has it been made into? How old is this book? I mean, if you haven't read the book already, then you've probably already heard it or you've seen it on Pinterest or something like that. I mean, you've probably even read a short, even just a small portion of it for school. So, I'm not gonna put spoiler alerts on it. So, I'm just gonna talk about it freely. If you haven't gotten to that part in the book yet or you haven't heard that about it, I'm sorry. You just found some newfound information. Mr. Darcy, he did have some traits about him. They were a little bit conniving, like when he did do that plan with Bingley and Jane. And I think he kind of used Miss Bingley as a tool for that because, well, first of all, I think he knew, hey, she's on my heels, so I'm gonna use this for my benefit and keep my best friend from marrying this, whatever you wanna call her, scullery maid. She's not really scullery maid, but. But anyways, she. And he just kind of used her for that. So, I'm not saying he's not smart, because, I mean, if I was in that same position, I probably would have done the same thing. But. Anyways. I'm gonna move on from Mr. Darcy right now, okay? We're number three. We are going to talk about my third favorite character. It's not Jane. Goodness knows it is not Mrs. Bennet. And it is not Bingley. It is Mr. Bennet. I know most people don't actually talk about Mr. Bennet a lot, because he's there, not really for comedy relief, but he's there to kind of oppose his frilly wife, who has nothing better to do than to scheme whoever her daughters are going to marry. He is just, I mean, he just, I don't know how to put it. It's kind of like he purposely opposes her when in reality he actually kind of agrees with her, but he has more common sense than her. Does that make sense? I'm sorry. He's not really comedic relief. He does have a part in it. And he's not always there to make weird or smart or whatever comments about it. So, and you can obviously tell Elizabeth is his favorite. I mean, Jane, she's great and all, but my Elizabeth girl, my Lizzie girl, she cool. Okay. Now we're going to move on to number 4, Jane. Now Jane Bennett, aka also known as Jane Bingley, after all is said and after all is done, she does end up marrying Bingley. Sorry, guys. Spoiled that for you. Jane is kind of like a frail character, except she's stronger than she looks, but she is still kind of the princess. The princess who needs saving, in a way. She is also the victim of Mr. Darcy's plan, which is also really messed up. I mean, he, even before he planned to do that with Mr. Bingley, he loved Elizabeth even before he planned that. Okay, he knew eventually she would probably marry into, he would marry into that family. Why would he try to keep his best friend from marrying into it? Which it was explained in the book why he did that. But Jane, she handled it really well. She is a strong character. And I love her, but this is obviously in the order of who I love the most. Number 5, we are going to talk about, I know, okay, we need a little drum roll right here. Number 5, last but not least, Mr. Charles Bingley. Okay, he is a, I think today he would be a goofball, okay? He is just, he's not really all that smart. He might not even be all the way there, but he's handsome. He's got money to talk for him, even if he doesn't say the smartest things. And he is just in love with Jane. But not quite so much that he wouldn't leave Netherfield to go to the city. So, yeah, that Mr. Bingley in a nutshell. Now, I kind of had a love-hate relationship with Mr. Bingley because he really wasn't in depth. Not like Mr. Darcy was. Which is kind of weird because neither was Mr. Bennett, but I just like Mr. Bennett so much more than most people usually do. I'm at almost 25 minutes, so I'm going to hurry on. We are going to talk about the least favorite characters. Number 1, Mrs. Bennett. I'm telling you, Jane Austen did a really good job on writing characters that you would totally push off of a cliff. I don't know what kind of woman she was, but she did a really good job on writing characters like that. Number one is Mrs. Bennet. She is so whiny throughout the book. All she wants in life is to marry all of her daughters off. And I mean, no matter the cost, I mean, that was like the number one hope when Lydia eloped. So, yeah. She was just really annoying. And I don't know why or how Mr. Bennet could handle that or why he married her. I mean, I was just messed up. Yeah, I am currently at 26 minutes. Okay, number two, Catherine de Bourgh. I'm not sure if that's how you say it, because when you read books, I've never actually watched the movie or how you say it or how you say her name, but Lady Catherine de Bourgh. Yeah, no. Hate her guts. She is awful. Absolutely awful throughout the whole book. There is not one moment in the book that she has a redeeming quality. Like, at all. She's manipulative. Not really whiny, but she gives underhanded comments. And it's just really annoying. Enough said. We are going on to number three, okay? I know most of you are probably expecting Wickham to be on here, but he is not going to be in either the favorite list or the least favorite list, because I just don't really have an opinion on Wickham. He's nice at first, but he's also conniving. But honestly, I kind of liked him a little bit, but not enough to go on the favorite characters. You get what I mean? But number three, we are going to talk about Mr. Collins. Oh my word, that is a horrible man. Not really horrible, but he's kind of like Mrs. Bennet style. Really annoying. I mean, just really annoying. I mean, he wants to go to Jane at first, but then he's like, hey, that girl over there, she couldn't refuse me. I mean, she's probably, like, what, 5 inches taller than me? I'm kidding. I don't know how tall he was, but... But, I mean, he's... I could totally imagine Mr. Collins being a short little guy with a horrible haircut. In today's standards, probably, he would probably be the kind who wears, like, really, really high shorts with, like, knee socks, white knee socks, and those Nike flip-flops that Velcro. Okay. You get what I'm saying? That's exactly what I can imagine him being in today's standards. And he is just really annoying. Alright, so that is the end. That is the end of the least favorites and the favorites. I am going to give you my favorite quote. I currently have the book in front of me, and I've had it here on the bed with me for like a little while, all throughout, and obviously everybody knows this quote. Start quote. It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife. Alright. I mean, because everybody knows. I mean, Donald Trump, he's always in want of a wife. I'm kidding. I am not. I think he's pretty satisfied with Melania right now, so not that I would know. Wow, okay, I'm sorry. But there is just... Okay, how about this one? Try this quotation for size. "Is Miss Darcy much grown since the spring?" said Miss Bingley. "Will she be as tall as I am?" "I think she will. She is now about Miss Elizabeth Bennet's height, or rather taller." Now, this is in parentheses right here. This is Mr. Bennet talking after Miss Bingley asks. He used Elizabeth Bennet as a comparison. Now, if that isn't smooth, I don't know what is. I just lost my place. I am sorry. This is gonna last for so long. Okay, I'm back. Okay. "How I long to see her again. I never met with anybody who delighted me so much. Such a countenance, such manners, and so extremely accomplished for her age. Her performance on the pianoforte is exquisite." "It is amazing to me," said Bingley, "how young ladies can have patience to be so very accomplished as they all are." "All young ladies accomplished? My dear Charles, what do you mean?" "Yes, all of them, I think. They all paint tables, cover screens, and net purses. I scarcely know anyone who cannot do all of this, and I am sure I never heard a young lady spoken of for the first time without being informed that she is very accomplished." Okay, so if that doesn't speak for all of their characters except for, like, for Elizabeth Bennet, I don't know what does, okay? Because it's true. I mean, accomplished women back then were measured by what they could do and what they couldn't do, so it's kind of weird. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, which has lasted like over half of an hour, and I'm so sorry it lasted this long. How can I even talk for 30 minutes straight? Or actually over 30 minutes straight. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I'm about to end it, the podcast, and I love you guys so much. Give me a favor if you enjoyed this, and give me some voice messages of what you want me to do in the future, like what books you want me to review, or what you want me to ramble about, or rant, if you want me to rant on something I'm very passionate about. Then give me a voice message and tell me what you think. Or if you just really enjoyed it, give me a voice message. But I love you guys so, so much. Give me a favorite if you enjoyed it. And I will see you guys or talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye.